Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Washington Game Day Uncensored on Grant and Danny, driven by LindseyCars.com. You will love it at Lindsey. Chris Russell is our Redskins insider. They are getting ready for a Week 3 showdown with the Bears, wrapping up the week on Monday Night Football tonight. We find Christopher on the Mattress Warehouse hotline. Slashy, your first feel on this game is what?
That the Bears will win a close one. I don't think it'll be one-sided either way. I'd be surprised by that. The only way I see that is if, you know, Case Keenum has one, you know, pick six, and maybe there's a fumble return or something freaky for a touchdown, you know, that kind of widens a three-ish point lead to, you know, double digits, somewhere in that range. I don't think either team is great on offense. Including, of course, the Redskins, who have had more opportunities and have done much better on offense, at least in a passing offense sense, than the Bears. But I still don't think the Redskins are anything close to great in that area in terms of execution. I know the Bears aren't, but the question for me will be is if the Redskins can't get home on pass rush, does Mitchell Trubisky and use his legs to extend and break down the coverage and hit one that he hasn't been able to hit so far through 2 weeks?
Russell, to me, this is about the worst unit of both teams. And I'm surprised that we are here in week three and we're talking about the Redskins' defense as the worst unit, but it is. They've been atrocious through a couple weeks. You look at what Chicago's done against Denver and then Green Bay. These are two defenses that we now know are pretty good. I'm wondering if in Chicago they're sitting there celebrating because they get the Redskins defense this week, and in Washington we're going, well, this is our chance to get right. To me, that's where this game will be decided.
Oh, absolutely, Danny. I agree with you completely. Now, I would tend to lean more towards the Bears being able to get it right, at least for one night, than the Redskins. And the reason why I kind of tend to lean towards that is because I think Nagy will be able to figure out some way to get Trubisky in a little bit of a comfort zone rhythm, whether it be screening, whether it be, again, finding ways to kind of move him around because he is so athletic, whether it be climbing up in the pocket or on bootlegs to buy extra time. So I kind of tend to lean towards Trubisky being able to figure it out in the Bears offense more than the Redskins defense. But let's call it what it is, guys. We know that the Redskins defense is miserably underachieved through the first two games. It doesn't take a lot to see, oh, okay, if they get a better pass rush, and hopefully it's without having to blitz every freaking down or every obvious passing down, if they get a better pass rush, that should lead to better coverage on the back end or more turnovers. So I could easily see the Redskins putting it together, but if I had to lean one way or the other, I'd probably lean towards Trubisky and the Bears offense.
Redskins insider Chris Russell on Grant and Danny. Who's sitting on the warmest seat at Redskins Park right now?
Well, I think the easy answer is Minuski, but I don't think Jay is very far behind, quite honestly. If things go really wrong, and what I mean really wrong, I mean, you know, excuse me, a loss tonight, maybe even another loss to Danny Dimes and the Giants next week, looking like without Saquon Barkley, who's their best offensive weapon. And then we would all, I think, presume a week five loss to the Patriots. If you're 0-5 going into the Dolphins, you know, probably both of them aren't employed by the Redskins at that point, right? One still is, and I would think it would be Jay staying over Minuski. But I could easily see, like, somehow if this team is 1-5 after the Dolphins game, and especially if they lose the Dolphins game, where both of those heads are going to roll, and we could be looking at a completely different scenario moving forward.
At WrestleMania621 on the Twitterverse. Give him a follow. He will engage with you. He will go back and forth in a Twitter wrestling match with you if you give him the opportunity.
Oh, stop. I'm trying to be nicer.
You can be very nice while going back and forth with people because you cannot resist the shark chum that goes in the water. Russell, for me, let's get into this offense here a little bit. Chicago takes a lot of stuff away, and they don't have to overcommit to do so. That pass rush is dangerous. Their front is excellent. I think their corners are a relative weak link when you talk about the rest of their personnel, but they're still better than most that you're going to see this year. What's the strategy here tonight? What's the kind of the way to do it? What do you think Jay's going to have kind of dialed up? Because they've had early success, and then it's been followed by wandering in the desert looking for first downs.
Yeah, so I'm going to repeat what I said with you guys last week, and which is probably going to surprise you guys. I think this is one of those pass to set up the run type games, and I know you guys would do that every game, every down, every series, every possession anyway, but I think it's especially more important tonight. You just mentioned the Chicago corners. I think they're good. I think they're fine. I think they're a byproduct of their front seven, and I know, and I think we all know, that Ha-Ha Clinton Dix can be picked on and exposed a little bit on the back end. Now, are they still a pretty decent secondary, a good secondary? Yeah, I think so. But compared relatively to their front seven, I'm not messing with that. So to me, that means not wasting a lot of time running the ball or trying to establish the run, which, again, I know sounds, you know, contrary to what I normally preach. And I'm also not doing something that I don't think this team still does enough, and I always want them to do, and that's set up the natural screen game, because I don't know if they're going to be able to make it work against this front seven in terms of speed, in terms of how they set it up. Normally, I want them to do that more. I just don't know if it's going to work against this front seven. So I would take my shots on first down play action. I would try and stretch to the intermediate and vertical and deep zone passing areas, just because, to me, that's the only way I think you're going to catch this Bears pass rush, you know, I don't want to say napping, but in a little bit of a predicament, if you can, you know, five-step drop it and get it out of your hands and you know, have Terry McLaurin run like a deep post route and maybe attack Ha-Ha Clinton Dix in the middle of the field. Something like that is about the only way that I could see an offense for the Redskins working.
So proud of you. Chris Russell on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I'm sure you saw this yesterday, right around noon or right around kickoff maybe. Adam Schefter reported that Jordan Reed's NFL career is in jeopardy after the concussions that he suffered. You know, there has kind of been one setback after another. The thought was maybe he'd be ready for week one. He's now been ruled out for week three. I asked Craig about this the other day, because the longer this goes, this is not how this normally works. It makes me think maybe we won't see him again. What do you think?
Well, I remember being in studio with you guys and talking about how, you know, every time they try and ramp him up, he has a setback, right? And I thought, okay, this is kind of odd for week one, and Jay had been very optimistic and very favorable. And then when it happened again, week two is when I officially started going, oh boy, oh no, this isn't good. And now here we are week three again, and he's had another setback or continuing set of problems. Look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to play one on the radio. I don't think any of us truly know, but I think we all understand, and we all understood when that hit from Keanu Neal happened, that illegal hit that the NFL completely dropped the ball on, still, even though they signed him, I think we all knew Jordan Reed was in some level of trouble, and this would be a tricky situation. Did I think it would come to this soon? No. Do I hope he can somehow, some way come back? Yes. Do I think he should? Probably not. And you, Grant, you and I have known Jordan since he walked in the building. He's a nice young man. He's very respectful. He's very humble. He loves playing football. But I think he loves his kids as much as he loves playing football. And to me, if I'm Jordan Reed, I'm never playing this sport again, period. I don't care how much money it costs me, because, you know, he's just had too many problems with not only the concussions, but elsewhere, that his quality of life, quite honestly, is in severe risk right now. And I would never play football again if I was Jordan Reed.
Football will be played tonight at the iconic FedEx Field, per Booger McFarland. The iconic venue that is FedEx Field.
That was great.
On the Monday Night Foosball, I believe Bruce has done a solid job. But
Just remember, Bruce was the GM in Tampa when Booga McFarland was one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL. So just remember where those comments may have come from.
I know where they came from. I know where I'd like to place them. It's in a waste receptacle. Russell, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Thank you, boys. I'll be listening on my way home.
See you,
You're
pal.
A good man. Chris Russell, our Redskins insider here on 106.7 The Fan. You'll be hearing from our beat reporter, Craig Hoffman, throughout the day. Right here on the station as well. Monday Night Football tonight. Many of you going to the game. We will discuss what to expect at FedEx and home game two coming up in just a little bit. But next, Skins Bears. Who's got to shine if Washington's going to get a win? For the Redskins to get a W, blank has to be great. Fill in that blank however you want to. For Grant and Danny, you are locked into the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You flew out Friday morning.
Yes, I did.
You flew back Sunday night.
Yes, I did.
All day Friday, all day Saturday, most of the day Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much all day, all 3 days. I flew, my flight departed 7:30 local time in Austin.
When they tell you to put the body in the mosh, you put the body in the mosh.
Don't laugh.
This ain't reality TV. We'll do that at 11:45 on Grant and Danny.
Indeed, sir.
Skins Bears tonight, plenty of great seats available. Your boy is planning on going to the game. I always go to home games. I try to get to every home game that I can. I've missed a handful probably in the last 20 years, tops. I'm a little under the weather today, so I'm not sure if I'm going to make it or not, which
Ooh,
is disappointing,
buddy.
But I'll update you as the show goes along. Right now we're focusing on just getting to the end of the hour. And
that's what we need, right?
We need 2 o'clock, and we'll see. We'll reassess at that time. But I can tell you this, there are a lot of seats available if people want to go to the game tonight, and they're not as expensive as they were against the Cowboys. You can get in for what looks to be around $20 tonight.
That's something.
So there's that. That just means there isn't as much of a demand from the opposing team's base, because the Redskins essentially gouged Cowboys fans for $150, $180 for seats for week two, and they don't need to do that because there aren't as many Bears fans going, but it's going to be interesting to see what the crowd looks like tonight. If the Redskins do beat the Bears, who shined? For the Redskins to win, blank has to be great. You can name a player, you can name an area of the team, whatever you got. 800-636-1067.
I'm going specifically a player, but then I'll kind of expand this a little bit. Pass rush vis-a-vis Montez Sweat. Something, man. Now's a great time. Mitch Trubisky stinks. This is an opportunity for you to show, hey, there's something here. I get it. First couple weeks, you go up against really good left tackles. I get that this is not easy, that you're not just bigger, stronger, faster than everybody like you were when you were playing in college. I need some productivity here. I think if he, you know, is forcing a couple step-ups in the pocket, then maybe you get some internal pressure. If he's there to get home, if he's batting down passes, some kind of impact beyond, hey, you know what? He was a pleasant surprise in the running game, which is what we've seen now through a couple weeks where people who break down the film have kind of posted. That's cute. Being good in the running game is fine. It's wonderful. I'm sure in your positional group meetings, everyone's very excited about that. I can get Ryan Anderson to do that. I can't get Ryan Anderson to have double-digit sacks. I need you to do that. Please hunt the quarterback. Please strike him with your body. Please knock his bleep in the dirt. Please hit him and let him know you're there. Then inform him after you were there once that you'll be back again later very, very soon. In fact, you could even use words like all day. Please proceed to hit the quarterback often. Thank you.
I'm looking at the Bears offensive line. I'm looking for a weak spot. I think I'll go Ryan Kerrigan because I actually have the exact same thought as you, really, which is that they have to win this game defensively. And the improvement that has to come on D is up front with the pass rush. I think it is the surest way to improve their secondary play. It is the best way, particularly with injuries. Quentin Dunbar, Monte Nicholson, Fabian Moreau have all had different issues. Two of those three missed the game last week, and the other. Monte Nicholson was on the sideline twice with different ailments in the blue tent getting worked on. You can't give even Mitch Trubisky, as pedestrian as he is, time, because that gets you beat. And it's why they've given up over 900 yards in 2 weeks. So the key, like you were thinking, I think we're in lockstep here, is getting to the quarterback, harassing Trubisky, forcing some bad, quick, rushed decisions. I'll go Ryan Kerrigan. Kerrigan generally lining up on the right tackle, and he'll move all over the joint, obviously. But the right tackle for the Bears is Bobby Massey, who, in my opinion, is not as good in pass protection as Leno at left tackle.
He's Jerry the Journeyman. I mean, Massey's been around. Nothing special there.
If Ryan Kerrigan was able to get a sack and a half or two sacks, you know, three or four quarterback hits, four or five pressures, have a fairly dominant stretch in this game and just kind of take over, I think the Redskins win. I thought about going Jonathan Allen as well, by the way. He guaranteed he's going to play on Friday, said he was back on the field and would be playing Monday night. No one could stop him, essentially. I'm paraphrasing. But supposedly, the reason they couldn't stop the run was John Allen's not out there. He'll help them do that. Supposedly, the reason they didn't collapse the pocket, the reason that Ioannidis wasn't quite as dominant, that Payne hasn't flashed as much, although I thought he was incredible at the beginning of the Cowboys game, is that John Allen's not there drawing double teams. So he might be an answer as well.
That would be a good one. I just need disruption. Zero disruption through two games from this defensive front that I believe was the strength of the football team. And I wasn't alone there, right? I mean, I'm not crazy looking at that group as assembled saying, well, you can at least count on this. That has not been the case through a couple weeks. They've had moments where they've stopped the run, okay, but, you know, you saw what happens as things wear on. It's that leaky sieve or, like, you know, kind of the leaky damn defense. You could plug it with a couple fingers, but eventually the water pressure breaks through, and that's what happened against Dallas, certainly. To me, you've got to create some pressure. You've got to do something to disrupt an offense that is disruptible, right? This is not an elite offensive front. This is not what Philadelphia is, which is a great offensive line. This is not what Dallas is, which may be the best in football. This is a group that can be had. Please have them.
So the other thing, when you think pass rushers, we both went with edge rushers, Sweat off one side for you, Kerrigan off the other. And that makes some sense because those guys get paid to make plays and pressure the QB and get sacks. But with a guy like Trubisky, as athletic as he is, you really are better off if the pressure's coming
internal,
right from that A-gap. That's a Payne, Allen, Ioannidis situation. Because he's going to be able to get around the corner if Kerrigan or Sweat on any given play are forcing him off his mark and the other one's not crashing as well. He's athletic enough to break the pocket, and I think that's something that gives this defense fits. It has for years. It doesn't matter who the coordinator is, what the personnel is.
No, that's true.
I just think that's a league-wide thing. When teams are off schedule, and now the play's being extended, think Wentz, think Romo over the years, and now dude's out of the pocket pointing around and is reset with his base as he's behind the line of scrimmage, and he's flicking the ball somewhere. You always see chunk plays there. So to me, the way to avoid that is winning up front. Ioannidis was a guy, last couple of years, if healthy, that was on pace for like 10 sacks.
He's doing that forklift move where he picks guards up and drives them 10 yards into the backfield.
He's been pretty quiet. And maybe it's about Minuski scheming something up. Maybe it's sending John Bostic as a dog. Maybe it's actually blitzing more, you know, corner or safety off the edge, sending Landon Collins from the interior. Do something. But this is a quarterback, to your point, that you can pester. You can influence. Make it work. 800-636-1067 is how you can get a hold of us right now on Grant and Danny. If the Redskins are going to beat the Bears, they're 5.5-point dogs, although Thommy and I locked in at 4.5, so I feel great about that. Blank has to be great. Who or what is blank? 800-636-1067. You're listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. You never want a team to have to deal with an injury, especially to A spectacular player who means a lot to the league, but the Redskins will not have to worry about Saquon Barkley this coming week as they prepare for the Giants on a short week after Monday Night Football with the Bears tonight. Ian Rappaport just tweeting that the Giants are expecting to be without Barkley for the next several weeks because of a high ankle sprain. Not surprising given the nature of the injury, as he writes, his presence with a walking boot on crutches on the sideline. So the Giants already weren't a very good team. They just lost their best football player for several weeks. Washington could benefit from that, but they can't worry about that yet. They got to deal with the Bears. Stinks, though. I love watching Barkley. He's one of my favorite players in the league.
I like watching him 14 times a year.
Yeah.
The other times, it's not as enjoyable. But yeah, that is a thing. That is a factor. Now it's going to be the Daniel Jones, Evan Engram, and maybe a little Sterling Shepard kind of show.
Speaking of shows, Antonio Brown, who is out of football after being released by the New England Patriots on Saturday, posted on Instagram a few minutes ago a class schedule for Central Michigan University.
Is that right?
Apparently, he is at least alleging that he is going back to school.
Okay.
He tweeted something along the lines of not wanting to go back to the NFL because he doesn't like the owners. I'm sure he had the choice, by the way. He made it seem like the owners are out to get him. Just, you know, the Raiders wanted to release him after he did all the things he did in Oakland. And the Steelers wanted to get rid of one of the great wide receivers in the history of their organization. And obviously the Patriots were hoping he'd get in big trouble and then tweet a bunch of things to harass a potential victim who's alleging assault against him. All those teams, they were clearly wrong, and Antonio Brown is the victim. We all know that, Danny.
We are very clear on that.
So the victim here, Antonio Brown, is mad at the league, and the owners are being mean to him. So he's deciding to go back to school, and I say to that, good for Antonio.
Good for you.
All the best to you in the classroom. Study real hard. Someone's intramural team's about to get excellent. I think that they're...
Could you imagine?
If I was an intramural football player at Central Michigan, I would do whatever I could to recruit that guy to try to win me a title
right now. Reach out via DM, like, with if you are, like, that frat team that's struggling right now in intramural football.
I'd bet anything I have that there's going to be a video. If he actually ever shows up on campus and tries to go back to school, of him playing in an intramural game, just torching a bunch of dudes, right? I mean, that's how this has to end.
Just taking a reverse in flag football and not being touched.
Would you rather play intramural football with Antonio Brown or in that Estonian Men's League basketball game against Robert Griffin III?
Very similar.
Oh, they're very similar.
I would rather play intramural ball with Antonio Brown on his squad.
But Griffin was killing dudes in Estonia.
He was going between his legs, just hoisting from anywhere. Those dudes were like dragging on cigarettes and then running out onto the floor.
They couldn't stay with him. They were out at the discotheque till 4 a.m. last night.
That really was just so embarrassing, that video. Anyway, Antonio Brown, good luck, man. And hopefully you get in the classroom, you stay out of some trouble, and you get that degree. Proud of you. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067.
I'm proud of you. Ooze some sarcasm there.
You started laughing. I don't know why. We're asking you guys
yes,
who has to be great for the Redskins to beat the Bears. I've gone Ryan Kerrigan. You're thinking like-mindedly.
Montez Sweat for me, but it's the pass rush in general. It can't be zero. It's got to be something, right? Now's the time to do it.
Brian in lovely Colonial Beach, a place where I've spent a lot of time. What's up, dude?
Hey, Brian.
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing today?
Good, man.
Great.
Well, look, man, I think it's like this, you know. The pass rush has got to be huge, and it's got to put the ball in the air for guys like Josh Norman who love jumping over bulls and can't cover a refrigerator, if you want to know the truth. But, I mean, Jay Gruden, he's got to come out. He's got to make some really, really aggressive play calls, too. With a, you know, with a front like they got, I mean, Khalil Mack, you got your front four. Put the ball in the air, guys, and get AP involved fast. Get him going. And, I mean, straight up, the defensive backs have got to do something today, man. I mean, we can't get torched down the field early on. Like, if you guys noticed in the Dallas game, you know, with Allen out, we had no pass rush. They had all day to throw it. When they got all day to throw it, we don't have anybody back there. We got a couple, you know, halfway decent backs, but Josh Norman's getting burned, man.
Yeah, well, and it's not completely his fault, right? Some of it is he can't run with guys anymore. And a big chunk of it, I believe, the problem on defense where they've allowed 350-plus-yard touchdown catches to receivers already is some miscommunications on the back end, which shouldn't happen when you've got Minuski and Ray Horton on a staff, both of whom have been longtime defensive coordinators. But the players got to play, clearly. But I think there's a part of it that is pass rush, that a quarterback's got time to survey, and he'll find that deficiency. Whereas a lot of the time in games that you're watching around the league, there's probably a busted coverage that a quarterback never got to. He could never make the throw because he was busy running out of the pocket or just trying to get the ball to safety.
But that theme for the secondary is no huge plays, right? I mean, you can't afford it against anybody, but let alone an offense that can't really do anything.
Yeah, you need a game where 17's enough tonight.
You got to make them earn their way up and down the field. If that means playing soft, which I know is going to annoy the bloody hell out of Redskins fans, watching them play 12 yards off the ball, if you don't get beat deep, you just let Chicago go down its leg. You let Chicago screw themselves up.
If Trubisky is going to give them a shot, the Redskins, to get Chicago off the field, because the Bears, their offense isn't good enough to go on a 12 or 13 play drive. They'll get behind the sticks. They'll commit a penalty. And at some point, second and 17 for them, you know they're passing. Trubisky's in the pocket. It's your best friend. Most quarterbacks in the league, good quarterbacks, you know they're throwing. It's not a problem. For the Bears, if I know Trubisky's got to sling it, he can't beat me. He's in that Mariota ilk.
Right.
And we're trying to figure out, is that the bucket Lamar Jackson's going to be in or not? But when a team's running and they're balanced and they're ahead of you on the scoreboard, very, very different than, I know Mitch Trubisky's got to make a throw right now on third and obvious passing. Andy and Chantilly, you're on Grant and Danny.
Grant and Danny, happy game day, my friend.
Dang.
Same to you. What do you got planned for tonight?
I'm headed to FedEx Field tonight. Hey, I agree with your assessment of our defense, and I think the best way to optimize the effectiveness of our defense is by calling on our all-pro punter, Tressway, once again to pin Trubisky and the Bears' offense deep, because once they are pinned deep, they become predictable because they have to limit their offensive playbook, and that's when we can zero in, pin them deep, get them in third and very longs, and then we have our way with them. What are your thoughts?
I dig it. I have a question for you. Are you tailgating? Yes, what sir. Time are you getting there? It's traffic for these Monday Nighters can be
tough. By the time I
get
across the Wilson Bridge, man, it's going to, you know, I'll probably pull in around 7:15. It's going to, I live in Chantilly. It's going to take me an hour and 45 minutes to get there.
That is tough. Whew. But you're committed.
You'll have earned it,
you
sir.
Will be there. Are you a season ticket holder?
Yes, sir, for the last 25 years.
Good
My son
you.
Has basically grown up in those seats.
I love it. Thank awesome. You, Andy. Much appreciated. Need more of you, man. Makes that environment a little bit more fun. He mentioned Tressway. Always significant field position. I get it. Did you see Tressway, the video that came out? The Redskins, they do this every year for some charity, and I have to plead ignorance, and I apologize. I don't know who or what it benefits. But they do this thing where they model off clothes. I think it's at, like, Bloomingdale's and Tyson's Corner or somewhere.
Okay.
And some of the local media, like J.P. Finley, NBC Sports Washington's always heavily involved. Julie Donaldson, I think some people like that, walk the runway.
Oh, I always see people posting stuff where they're dressed in very strange clothing.
So they model off clothes. Uh-huh. And the Redskins, for this charity event, basically show off whatever line it is.
Or that's nice.
I really don't know what the deal is. But what I do know is two hysterical videos came out of that where Tress Way was wearing like a really tight white tank top, tucked into jeans with, like, aviators, had a whole choreographed dance with two little kids on the runway. Dustin Hopkins and his wife did some wacky thing where they walked down the runway, and he's, like, kicking up from on his back to on his feet. The special teamers brought their A games.
Sure.
I hope they carry it into the game tonight.
They're the relievers of pro football. Like,
they've
got time on their hands, and they have creativity to come up with bits.
DC has been spoiled. Redskins fans for several years have not had to worry about punting, Tressway. Kicking, Dustin Hopkins, and long snapping, Nick Sundberg. Those three guys have been mainstays.
They're steady Eddies. And funny.
Yeah, good dudes.
They're all good guys, and they do good bits.
We'll go around the NFL 2.0. Second time today we're making our way through all the games before 2 o'clock. Of course, majoring in both the Redskins and the Nationals, who we'll get back into. But next, we'll make our predictions and find out 3 days in Austin, Texas with his buddies. How much weight did Danny gain this weekend? You're listening to The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
not your normal Monday. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Washington Game Day Uncensored on G&D today, driven by LindseyCars.com. You will love it at Lindsey. Before we get into a couple of other NFL games and spin you around the league, it is time for an abbreviated version during our normal time for the double play of how much weight did Danny gain over the weekend? Now, normally we don't play this unless you go on vacation, but you had a mini trip.
I did. I had a little trip.
Austin, Texas. What was the occasion?
Just a dude's weekend. Getting guys together. My friends who live across the country, we're now old. We all got kids. We're just all north of 40. Just a bunch of sweaty, old, gross guys. But pick a city. My buddy does kind of an Airbnb thing or whatever. And I've never been able to go because it's always during football season. The fact that the Skins didn't play till Monday night kind of gave me a window. I was the surprise mystery guest. Yet he was the only one who knew that I was coming. So I surprised a bunch of my lifelong pals in Austin, Texas. Great little time. Great city. Really, really cool experience.
Very cool. All right, I've got a couple of quick questions.
Please, absolutely.
We'll let Thom and Dar ask any questions they have, and then we'll make our guesses. You flew out at what time on Friday?
Friday morning, the plane departed at 8:30 a.m.
What time did you weigh in?
I weighed in Thursday night.
So you're heavier at night.
Yeah, I didn't want to wake up in the morning. Sure. I had to wake up at like 5:50, 6 o'clock.
What time did you weigh in on the back end?
Sunday night when I got home.
Last night is helpful because at least there's consistency.
There. 1 a.m.
Okay. Did you eat between meals, like snacking, or did you just eat a lot at breakfast, lunch, and dinner three times a day?
Enormous amounts of food when we sat down, like at feed bag strapped on. Obscene amounts of food.
But you were not snacking throughout the day. It was more, it's time for breakfast, let's go eat a lot. It's time for lunch, three meals.
Yep.
Did you do any exercise or a lot of walking?
There was some walking. We walked a little bit.
You never went to the gym in the hotel?
No. We're in a house.
So did you drink?
Yes. To excess on Friday night.
Okay.
I had more beers on Friday night than I've had the rest of the year combined.
Okay. 3 days. When you left, had you lost some weight previously to kind of bottom out before you left, or
no,
are you trending up?
I didn't do what I did before vacation.
Okay.
It was not going that great.
Last question I have for you would be dessert items, sugar-laden, baked good type things, ice cream, any kind of cookies, brownies, cake. At dinner, did you eat dessert?
Yes.
How many times?
All of those. 5 desserts in 3 days.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I've asked enough questions. Thommy and Dar, do you have any?
Danny, when you go on vacation, you love to eat donuts. Did you get any donuts?
There were
on
no
your
donuts.
Vacation?
There were no donuts this time. No donuts.
Any breakfast foodstuffs similar to donuts? Donuts.
A lot of pastries consumed. A lot of pastries. Some croissants with things inside them. A lot of danishes.
Did you ever
muffins?
Not eat something because you said?
Never once.
Oh, this is bad for me.
No.
Not once.
Not once. I gave him the Bob Senley.
Tommy?
No questions for me. Biggest question was about beer. We got a pretty clear answer on that. So I think we're ready to
go. Only really drank Friday. Had some booze before the UT game and then ate late night wings.
All right, Tommy, you go first. 3 days in Austin, Texas. How many pounds did Danny gain?
Short trip, a lot of walking. I don't think Danny's really being honest about how much walking is involved because he did go to a football game on a college campus, which means that he probably walked about 4 miles to get to the stadium. I'm going to say Danny gained 7.5 pounds.
Tommy's in for 7.5.
It's not a bad guess.
I'm going to go a little lower than that. I'm going to say 6.5 pounds.
Dar's in for 6.5.
I'll be honest with you. If Danny only gained 6 pounds in 3 days, he didn't really pull a Danny. You know, that's a couple pounds a day. I'm going to go high. I'm going to say 8.3 pounds in a 3-day stretch for Danny Ruye.
First of all, this is me tipping my cap to each one of you for fantastic guesses.
Thank you.
Really, you guys are all hovering around the total. I will do this quickly because I know we have real football things to get to. I departed at 216.1. I return at 223.8. That is a 7.7 pound difference. Thommy right there. We didn't do that
Attaboy,
much walking.
Thommy.
We were right next to campus. We walked for 10 minutes. I walked to a food truck once. I walked to an ice cream place that was closing soon to get late night ice cream. just that's the first night.
I think when you get home and you weigh in and you look and you see it was sub 8 pounds, I think you're happy about that.
I don't know if you're happy. I think you feel a lot of shame.
Did you?
Yeah, you should be ashamed if you're me.
All right, any final thoughts, Thommy, Dar, on 7.5 or so pounds for Danny in 3 days?
I really wouldn't feel that much shame if I were you. I mean,
it's pretty embarrassing. I'm a grown-up, dude.
It'll come off.
You didn't walk and you drank for the first time in months.
I'm just happy that I'm getting better at this game, because the first time we did it, I was way off, starting to really hone my craft at guessing how much weight Danny can gain in 3 days. So I'm very proud of myself.
The more you play.
0.2 off. I mean, that's really good.
Dwayne Haskins knows the more you play, the better you're going to get.
You just need reps, Tommy.
Beltway Blitz coming up at noon. Real quick, let's crowbar in a couple of NFL games from yesterday's Week 3. We will start you off with the Colts and the Falcons in Indianapolis. So much for needing Andrew Luck yesterday. Jacoby Brissett was fantastic. Luck-like, 310 yards, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers. T.Y. Hilton, Zach Pascal hauled in 6-pointers. Marlon Mack grinds out 74 yards on 13 attempts. Atlanta, in the loss, sees Julio Jones go for 8 and a buck 28 and a score. Matt Ryan threw for 304 and 3. How about 16 penalties, though, on the Falcons for 128 yards in a close game? Colts led 20-3, had to hang on late. Brissett started the game with 16 straight completions.
Everybody was open. So I was throwing it to them, throw it to the people in my colored jerseys. They did a good job. You know, I probably didn't get sacked the first half either, you know, and it was just one of those days.
The Colts should be 3-0. Never forget, they lost in the opening week because Adam Vinatieri missed a chip shot field goal and an extra point. They should be 3-0. This is a good team. They're not great, but they're good. I don't know what's wrong with Atlanta. This is the second time, at least, that they've done this, where they mount zero offense for three quarters at a time and then have a late charge that's not enough. Something's broken down there.
Two losses, and to your point, you go back to last week. Without all the injuries, the Eagles beat them. I mean, they really lucked out for that win on Sunday Night Football. Let's go to Minneapolis, where the Vikings bounced back big time after a loss to the Packers. They won going away and kind of shut it down in the third quarter for the second time in three games. 34-14, they didn't break a sweat. Kirk Cousins, 15 of 21, efficient, 174. He needed a good game. He had it. 35-yard touchdown to Adam Thielen, who also rushed in a play on the goal line that was a nice little exotic design on an end-around to him. Dalvin Cook, 110 on 16 attempts and a touchdown.
Amazing.
He is the man. Minnesota runs for 211 yards. The Raiders have a budding star in Darren Waller. The hard knock sensation, 14 targets, 13 catches, 134 yards at tight end. Carr in the loss, 242 yards and 2 passing touchdowns for him. Cousins postgame.
I think what's interesting is we're starting to learn. I think you're starting to learn what kind of a team we have and who we're going to be and what our best brand of football is going to be on offense. And that, I think, is going to be very different from what it's been last year. And so we're learning, and we're learning about guys like Irv Smith and Alex Mattison, who going into the season you just don't really know, and you have to go play.
Three games now for the Vikings. It's very clear. They want to run the ball a million times. Mike Zimmer fired a guy last year because he didn't run it enough. They want to set up play action and bootleg Gary Kubiak style. And they aren't going to have to sling it around. So that means Stephon Diggs' value drops, Adam Thielen value drops, Kirk Cousins won't put up his traditional numbers, but they're 2-1.
I think it lowers their ceiling personally, but I get it. It's so far so good. Madison, who he mentioned, really impressive as well. They got a couple running backs that could start for anybody that are really good, but Dalvin Cook's been the story. He's been as good as any running back in football through 3 weeks.
In the 12 o'clock hour, the Nationals take 2 of 3 from the Marlins. They need 4 more. As a magic number to get into the playoffs. Skins Bears confident and worried about coming up as well. Beltway Blitz is next on G&D.
Hey guys, Danny Ruya here from a pals at Ted Britt Ford. I'm a Ted Britt guy. You should be too. Here's why. They've been doing the great things that they've done for me and so many folks in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia areas, okay? They've been doing it for 60 years. They're excellent at this. They are great at getting you into a car that you will love at a deal that you won't believe. These guys are awesome at it. Again, that's how you do this for 60 years. In 1959, they had an idea, and they've executed that plan for 60 years. And they're celebrating the Summer of 60 event. It's still kind of summer, right? It's hot outside. It's going to be hot all week. You don't pay them anything for 60 days in honor of 60 years in business. That's right. You buy a new car from Ted Britt Ford. Congratulations. You don't owe them anything for 60 days. It's pretty cool. And so compound that, right? This is like a little double action. You get the 60 days of no payments. How about some of these deals? $15,000 below the MSRP on a 2019 Ford 150 XLT 4x4 Supercrew. $12,225 off the MSRP on a 2019 Ford Edge. $10,000 off the MSRP on a 2019 Ranger truck. See the theme here. Whole bunch of money off the car. You don't pay them anything for 60 days. That is bloody great. Go see my guys at Ted Rick Ford. Give me a first day. Just tell me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.